We're carrying on in a series right now, and we've called this series Fear Not. We're looking at the Christmas story. We've been walking through a couple different moments when angels showed up to different people and announced at a different way, for different reasons along the way, to fear not. The first one was the angel who showed up to Mary. And Mary was a young girl, a young teenage girl, who was a virgin, but the angel came to tell her that she was actually going to have a baby, and that baby would be the Messiah. That baby would give hope to all mankind, all humankind. And so Mary, as you could have imagined, was a little bit scared, and the angel said, "Fear not, Mary." We talked that week about not having to fear the plans that God has for us. Sometimes the plans that God has for us seem scary, but it's amazing how many people I've talked to even since that day who've said, I committed that day. I raised my hand and I raised my heart. I surrendered my heart and I said, God, I want to give my plans over to you and follow your plans. And for a couple of them, it's led to places where they didn't expect to lead them. And for all of them, they said, it's the best thing we could do. Amazing. Amazing how that works. God, would you just allow me to walk in your plans? The second week, we talked about Joseph. That was last week. And we said, fear not, Joseph. Because Joseph was wondering what he was going to do with Mary, who was now pregnant. And as far as he knew, still a virgin. And what am I going to do with this now? How am I going to handle this now? What will people think of us now? If I follow through with this marriage, what will happen? And so we talked about the idea that sometimes we have to stop fearing what other people think of us. Fear not. God's plans will lead you in a direction where people will think you're crazy. Fear not. Where people will question your decision-making skills. Fear not. Where people will question why you wouldn't want this or why you wouldn't want that or why you would choose this instead of that. Fear not, says the angel to Joseph. And this week we're going to look at the shepherds. And the angels show up to the shepherds and they make an incredible announcement to the shepherds. We're going to get into that for a second, but we're going to talk about the fear of where we stand with God. Okay, where do we actually stand with you, God? You know, where am I actually at? How am I actually doing? What am I good enough? Have I done the right things? Have I memorized the right scripture? Have I been to church enough? Have I said the right words? Have I invited enough people out to church? Do I give enough money? Like, where do I actually stand, God? Am I in your good books or am I in your bad books? Am I going to be okay after life? Will I get to go to heaven and spend time with you or not? Like, I just where am I actually at? I had someone coming to me with a lot of those questions when I was just a teenager, and she was exploring faith. She would say she was a Christian, but she was so afraid. Like, what actually, though, am I okay or not? If I died today, would I be going to heaven? She was so nervous about that and so has so many questions about that. And I said, where are all these questions coming from? Like, what's going on in your life? Why are you thinking all those things through? You don't need to think about all that stuff so much. And she said, well, she had a few different places, but then she showed me this lamb that she had, like a stuffed teddy lamb. I'm like, okay, this is weird. So she squeezes the lamb, and the lamb's cheeks go red. Creepy lamb right away. That's the devil lamb. But this is what the lamb says when you squeeze the lamb's cheeks. You may recognize these lines. Now I lay me down to sleep. Does anyone know these lines? Creepy lamb, the creep sheep. Now I lay me down to sleep is what this sheep would do. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Okay, see if you notice anything creepy in this next line. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You just think this lamb is speaking this to this girl the whole night. She's like literally like goes to bed. She goes, I need to pray. And part of my prayer is this lamb. She turns it on. Red cheeks start going. Says, now if I die before I wake, I pray the soul my Lord to take. Good night. You know, how creepy is that, right? It's sort of scary. That's sort of the way that sometimes we view our faith, our religion, or where we stand with God. We think, okay, God, if I die tonight, what do I need to do to make sure I'm good? What do I need to do to make sure I'm in heaven? Because if I go in my sleep, I mean, I don't know what's going to... So some of us don't pray through the whole day and then we pray at night. God, just so we're clear, are we good? Good? Good. Okay, carry on. You know, we're fine. Now I can go to sleep because if I go in my sleep, I want to know where I'm going. And we sort of get tied up in this. We wonder where we stand. We wonder where things are at with us. I remember as a young guy that I prayed a lot at nighttime. And I sort of went through the same thing that that girl was going through, that I was kind of afraid. What if I haven't done enough? What if I haven't done the right things? What if I haven't accomplished everything that I was supposed to accomplish? What if I haven't been religious enough? What if I haven't been who I'm supposed to be? And we all, at some point, have some kind of question in our heart. When I die, what's it going to look like? Am I going to be okay or not? Does God know me or not? Am I, you know, where am I going to be at? And there's this one group in the Bible. It's one group of people that was systematically marginalized from the Christian circles or from the religious circles. They were the shepherds. The shepherds couldn't be part of the main religious system because of who they were. The shepherds were outcasted. They were pushed aside. Family didn't care about them. The religious people didn't care about them. In fact, the religious system and the laws that existed at the time specifically said that the shepherds, because they couldn't make Sabbath and they couldn't be at the temple a certain amount of time, they couldn't do these things, that they were always going to be spiritually unclean. They were never going to be good enough. And it's them that the angel shows up to and says, I want to tell you the great news of Jesus Christ. Let's read it in Luke 2:8-11. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, I can imagine why they'd be terrified. If you know that you're outside of the religious circles, if you know that you're specifically spiritually unclean, if you know that you're ceremonially unclean, if you know that everyone looks at you and says you're the marginalized, you're the stinky, you're not very educated, you can't be trusted, all of these things, then when God shows up, when the angels show up, you think that judgment has come your way. You think, well, here I am, oh boy, angel, I know I'm bad, okay. Smite me, like kill me, whatever you're going to do, like pull out my hair or whatever it is. I know that I've been a bad person because I'm a shepherd. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, fear not. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. To you. Isn't that an interesting thought? A Savior has been born to you. Shepherds, a Savior has been born to you, castaways. A Savior has been born to you, the pushed aside. A Savior has been born to you, the unclean. A Savior has been born to you, the uneducated. A Savior has been born to you, the stinky. Hey, they're shepherds. They're shepherds. I mean, they're hanging out with sheep, and sheep don't smell that good. But anyways, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now you got to imagine, start to wonder what's going on in the shepherds' heads. Okay, if a Savior has been born, what is he saving us from? What are we going to be saved from? Because we're shepherds and we know who we've been. We know we haven't been, people don't like us. So what are we going to be saved from in this situation? We know who we are. What are you going to be saving us from that you wouldn't be saving other people from? See, in this day, they would send out something called heralds. And heralds would be someone that a family would hire to go and tell everyone when they had a new baby, especially a baby boy. They'd hire someone and say, go tell this person, this person, this person, and this person all that we had a baby boy. It's called Facebook now. But then it was called heralds. So anyways, they would hire these people. Well, God hired a herald to tell people about Jesus. He hired angels said, hey guys, you're going to go and be the ones who proclaim the good news of Jesus. Okay, who should we go to? Imagine the, who should we go to? Should we go to Herod, you know, some political power? Should we go talk to Caesar Augustus? Who should we talk to? Should we talk to the powerful people? Or maybe you want to go the religious route. Should we go talk to the high priests or those who are ruling in the temple? Should we go talk to those who know the most? Should we go into the universities and go talk to all those who have been studying and have learned the Bible really well and have done all those things? Should we go and talk to those who have perfect families, who kids are really well behaved and they make their bed and they take care of everything? Should we go to them who are just perfect and have no problems whatsoever? Should we go to the richest, those who have the most money? Should we go to those? Because then, I mean, they've got money. We can use it. We could share it around and tell more people. God, who do you want us to go to? And he says, I want you to go to the shepherds. I want you to go to the stinky, pushed aside, outcasted, religiously, spiritually unclean. I want you to go to them. And I want you to tell them a Savior has been born. And that Savior will save you from the religious systems that have locked you outside of the in-group. He'll save you from the religious mess that has said that you cannot do what you're doing, that you are ceremonially unclean, that you are no good, that you are unworthy, that you are inadequate. It will save you from those. The Messiah is born to you, and he will save you from that system that has specified you as unworthy. They were distant. The shepherds were distant. For three reasons they were distant. They were distant because they felt unworthy. I think some of us always feel unworthy, especially in church, right? We don't feel worthy often because we show up and we know that there's all these other people who have done church for a long time and probably haven't done the bad things that we've done in our life, you know? Where we think, I go to church, but there are a lot of things that I do on the weekend that I don't feel very good about, and I don't feel like I can just share those with everyone, and because everyone else is perfect in here, and since everyone else is perfect, I just know that when I do bad things, I'm not worthy. And maybe we wouldn't say that. We wouldn't speak it out. We wouldn't say, hey, listen, I'm not worthy, because there's a pride in us that says, I'm just not going to tell it. I'm going to actually look instead angry and become critical at the church. But sometimes there's this feeling of being unworthy. I don't belong because I'm not worthy. I don't belong because I can't do the right thing. See, the shepherds had to travel with the sheep. They would be grazing and traveling around, and the reality is, if you didn't get into the temple a certain number of times during the week, then that's when you became unclean. And so literally, they were unworthy. Literally, their system said, you're not worthy to be part of us. When you're unclean, you can't step into the temple. You have to go to this other place while you clean up and while you become ceremonially clean again. Well, they couldn't do that because they had a job that they were too busy following around. Or they couldn't take Sabbath. One of the rules was they had to take Sabbath and take a day off in the week. Well, shepherds couldn't do that. They'd be on the road sometimes for a long time and walking around with the sheep and they were along with them. They couldn't do that. So they weren't worthy because they didn't show up for church 4, 5, 6, 7 times in a row. And so now they can't really show up that next time. Sometimes we feel that way. We feel like we're not worthy to show up. Like people won't really accept us for who we are. They felt inadequate. A lot of times, the shepherds didn't have education. This was a lowly position in society. You often carried out by slaves, sometimes carried out by the youngest a boy in a family. And so if a father couldn't afford a slave, he would pick his youngest boy. He wouldn't pick his oldest boy. They're good for something. The youngest, who are good for nothing, we'll send you out into the field. You go take care of the sheep, just like David did, when we see David getting risen up out of that, which is why it was just crazy that happened. They weren't educated. They didn't have the same opportunities. They were stuck out there. They were stuck in the field. They didn't get to do some of the things that other people got to do. And so they show up and they feel inadequate right when they show up into the temple or when they have the conversations. You know, it's like when you're sitting around talking and someone all of a sudden throws out a Bible verse. I don't know how many people throw out the Bible verses when you're talking, but anyways, someone throws out a Bible verse and you think, I have no idea what that is. Someone just says something about classic church language or classic Christianese, and someone just shares something about the Bible, and you have no idea what they're talking about. You start to feel inadequate. Oh, everyone in this room knows the entire Bible like the back of their hand. Everyone here understands all of Scripture. Everyone here gets it when Pastor Evan says this, and they're connecting all the dots, and I just feel inadequate. It's how the shepherds felt, and then they felt unloved. Often because of the nature of their jobs, because of how society had been spoken about them, shepherds often became thieves. It was kind of a well-known thing that shepherds were thieves. So they weren't loved in society. They actually weren't allowed to give a testimony in the court of law. It's because everyone said they would just lie. We can't be trusted. You couldn't get, a shepherd would have a very hard time ever getting the blessing from a father to give his daughter to him in marriage. It just wouldn't happen. They go, hey, I'm a really nice shepherd. No, don't believe you. So they often didn't get married. They're often stuck out in this unloving circle outside of the church. They were unworthy. They were inadequate. They were unloved. Reality is sometimes we all feel one of these, maybe all of them. We show up at church and we feel like, well, my story is a little bit rough. Maybe some of you at Christmas time, you remember that Christmas isn't a great time because you know that your dad's not around. Your dad was always around, but he decided he wanted to leave your family and say bye-bye to you guys, and you feeling like you're unloved. Why did you choose someone else besides me? Maybe you feel alone in the Christmas season because actually in this Christmas season, you're remembering that you were married, but that the person you were married to said they don't love you anymore. They wanted to walk away. They wanted to turn and go do a different life without you. And you can't help but in this Christmas season recognize that you're all alone. That you used to have this life and now you're stuck in this life, and it's because someone decided they don't love you the same way. Maybe today you feel like you're guilty because you can't afford what the person down the road can afford. You can't get the gifts that your kids' friends get for Christmas. You can't do the things that they all get to do, and they're going to Disneyland for Christmas and you're stuck here and you don't even know what you're going to do here. You can't afford anything. And you feel guilty about that. You feel like you're the only one. But the reality is we look around, we start to see a little bit of shepherd in all of us. Start to recognize that all of us have a little bit of something that makes us unworthy. A little bit of something that makes us inadequate. A little bit of something that makes us unloved. At some point in all of our lives, we've experienced that. In all of our lives, we've walked through that. That maybe all of a sudden you look and actually the person sitting right beside you has walked through some of those things. Maybe the person right in your circle, like there's actually people right in your circle right now sitting in this building, in this room right now, who are walking through worse things than you, but you're so busy just staring at yourself, you can't recognize it. But there's good news. Jesus came, he sent angels to the shepherds. Because when the shepherds are sitting here feeling unworthy, inadequate, and unloved, the good news came. It said, a Savior has been born to save us from what? What will you save us from, Savior? What will happen? What will change? What will shift for us? What will become new for us? What's it going to look like? And the recognition for them, they knew that religion could not save them. They knew that a system could not save them. They had been alienated because of the system. They had been alienated because of religion. Religion wasn't going to be the answer for them. It actually couldn't be the answer for them. They recognized that it was the very reason they were stuck outside of society, stuck outside of the temple, stuck outside of community, was the religion, was the system that the law had created. Religion wouldn't save them, so what would? Jesus. Jesus would save them. Christianity was never meant to be a religion. It always gets plugged in with religions, you know, Buddhism, Muslim, Christian. But it's different. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus actually showed up onto the planet. See, if God wanted it to stay a religion, he wouldn't have sent a person for us to have relationship with. But he sent a person, one that we could know, one that we could see, one that we could recognize, one that we could walk with. In fact, not only a person, but a baby that we could grow with, and we could watch that baby develop and become. And in all of its humbleness and humble beginnings, it was going to become the Savior of the world. And we could actually watch that development take place. See, God didn't want Christianity to be a religion. He wanted it to be a relationship. God didn't name it Christianity. He didn't put that stamp on it. But he did name Jesus for us. He did send Jesus to the shepherds. Actually, he sent the shepherds to Jesus through his heralds, the angels. He didn't do that for anyone else. This is where it started. Shepherds, unloved, inadequate, unworthy. Can I tell you about the Savior who will save you where religion has failed you? In Romans 3:20 to 22, we see the good news put out in one of the clearest ways throughout all of Scripture. And Romans 3:20, I've actually felt this verse on my heart for the last like couple months, but I've kept putting it off, saying, no, we don't need to talk about that. It's okay. But today I feel like God has really said, you need to go there if you need to talk about this. This is Romans 3:20 to 22 is Paul, and Paul was actually a Christian killer. He was someone who didn't like Christians at all. He was totally against them. He was very religious. He understood the law very well. He understood all the rules very well. He was 100% on the rules. In fact, he said he was a Pharisee amongst Pharisees. He was the best of the best at following all the rules and knowing all the religious systems. And it was partly because of that he hated Christians. Because Christians all of a sudden started showing up and said, hey, it's not about the law anymore. It's about us being in relationship with Jesus. It's about us finding him. And yeah, there's going to be some behavioral changes. Yeah, there's going to be some things that we do differently. But we're going to do it because Jesus calls us to it. Not because some system has said so. But we're going to actually accept shepherds. We're going to actually accept the unloved, the inadequate. We're going to actually invite them in. And Paul said, this is ridiculous. I'm going to kill you. And he did. And once his life was transformed, he wrote this. I'll read it all through and then I'll pull a few things out of it. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. No matter who we are. Worship team, you can come on up. Let me pull 3 points out of this. One, you cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. You felt like you were unworthy maybe because you didn't observe the law well enough. Like you've done some things badly, and so maybe you're not worthy to be in this place, and I'm not sure if I fit here because there are some things that I don't do well, and God might not accept me. Well, it doesn't matter how good you are. God won't accept you because of your goodness. It's not your goodness that makes a way to God. It's not your living by the law that makes a way to God, because the law, you cannot live by it. If you look back at the law, especially what the Pharisees developed, they had 613 laws to follow that told them every little thing to do. And here we see that you cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. The second is this: the purpose of the law is to show you your need for a Savior. When you know the law, you know that you can't make it. When you know that you can't make it, you know there must be a different solution. And the angels come to the shepherds and say that solution is Jesus. And I want to show you that Jesus is good. Come and see. Come and see that even shepherds, even unloved, even inadequate, have a place at this table, have a place in that barn. Jesus showed up in a manger, like he's in these real humble beginnings, maybe so that the shepherds would feel at home, you know? Oh, this doesn't feel so bad, you know? If they ever showed up into a king's space, that they would be laying out all sorts of blankets and putting these things in. They'd be walking through some sort of shower as they come in, scrubbing them down, doing all this stuff. But here they walk in, and as they are, they walk up to Jesus. Say, he stinks like us. It smells like cows in here. I feel at home here. He's inadequate like us.
Hello?
He doesn't know that much. He doesn't know enough religious stuff. He's not that kid. He's just a baby. Oh, that seems like something we can get to know this guy. That seems like we can identify with him. If this is the Savior of the world, that's not too hard. Maybe we're actually probably fit. If this is our Savior, we probably fit here. The third one is that righteousness with God comes from faith in Christ alone. First, you cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. Second, the purpose of the law is to show you your need for a Savior. Third, righteousness with God comes from faith in Christ alone. If you've ever showed up to church, if you've ever even thought of showing up to church and haven't gone and have decided and wondered and been all over the place, you've felt unworthy, you thought, I don't know, because they do all of these things and they follow all of these rules and they're all capable at all these things. They understand the Bible in all of these ways and they have all these memory verses and they have all of this stuff, and I don't feel like I'm worthy. I don't feel like I'm adequate. I don't think I can do all those things. Good, you've recognized that you cannot save yourself. But then Jesus says, I'm coming. And if you want salvation, if you want that newness, if you want life that you thought you'd get from living the right way, if you want life that you thought you'd get from following all the right steps, if you want that life, I have it for you, but it comes from me and me alone. So the shepherds, they head off. We're in. We're going. Let's go. Let's go check it out. Let's go see what this Jesus is all about. He's going to save us from all this stuff. All the religious folk were actually all of a sudden cast aside. All those who cast aside the shepherds, now they haven't been invited to this party at this point, because they would have a hard time coming and say, what? That's not our Savior. He's small. He's a baby. He's not worthy. He's inadequate. He's uneducated. And God says, this is the Savior of the world. Accept him and you'll know salvation. Reject him and you won't. The shepherd said, we're in. They went and saw him. Jesus didn't change their outlook, didn't say, okay, now you become lawyers, because shepherds are, that's a bad job. He said, okay, shepherds. Actually, all he really said was, wah, wah, wah. But the shepherds went there, were so impacted and yet went back as shepherds, as far as we know. Because it wasn't that God wanted them to be different. It was that God wanted them to know the Savior. So he did. They did. And that was that for them. Today, maybe there's some here that want to know that Savior too. At Northgate, we really believe that life is found in Jesus Christ and in believing in Him and following His plan for our lives. And today, maybe some of you say, I haven't got that before. I've felt unworthy or inadequate, or I've questioned how I fit in this place before. I haven't known what that should look like for me in the past, and I don't quite understand my role and where everything goes for me. Today, angels are coming to you, calling to you and saying, hey, come and see. Come and see. Savior was born long ago, but he can be born in your life today. You can give life to that Savior today as you just choose to follow Him and give your life to Him. Would you just all bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a second? Because today, if there's someone here who says, you know what, that's me. I feel like a shepherd. I felt like I haven't fit. I felt like I've been unworthy or inadequate unclean, or I just felt like I wasn't loved or I wasn't accepted, and because of that I didn't like religion, I didn't like church, I didn't like all of this stuff, but I do want that relationship. Today, if you say, I want that relationship, I want to know that Jesus, I want to know that one that accepts me in my unworthiness, accepts me in my inadequacies, accepts me even when others don't love me and don't seem to care for me, I want to know that hope in my life, I want to know that life in me. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Because I want to pray for you. Yes, bless you, I will pray for you. Is there anyone else up in the balcony? Anyone in the balcony we can pray for? Down here, I want to pray for you. Bless you, bless you, praise you, praise you, God, praise you, God, praise you, God. Is there anyone else? Anyone else whose hand I've missed? You say, I just want to know that Jesus. I want to know that relationship. I want to follow Him. Yes, I see you in the back. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, Lord, thank you for these decisions today. Thank you for those who say, I want to be like the shepherds, and I haven't been recognized by anyone else for anything in my life. I haven't been seen as good. I haven't been seen as worthy. I haven't known even my own self. When I've looked in the mirror, I haven't seen someone who I love. But today, God, I pray that you would reorient those people's minds around how you see them as worthy because of you, as adequate because of you, as loved because of you. Lord, you have not left us. You have not forsaken us in the same way that you sent your angels to go and tell the shepherds who were systematically removed from the temple. In the same way today, you're going to those who say, I don't know if I've ever fit. And you're telling them, there's never been a better fit than with me right now. Teach them how to walk with you, Lord. Teach them how to follow you. Teach them how to continue to recognize your love, your empowerment, your life. Teach them, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give a hand to God for what He's doing in lives. Hey, come on. So good. We're going to celebrate this, church. We're going to celebrate when people make decisions for Jesus, because there's nothing better in this church. There's nothing better that we can be a part of than that. Hey, I just wanted, can we, Alan, can we do that song that you did last in the set? We there's this moment right after they're talking to the shepherds. The angels are talking and says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. All of a sudden, there's this outburst from heaven where there's this angel talking and saying, shepherds who have been unloved, unworthy, stinky, all of the things that you've been, there's a Savior born to you. And as soon as that angel says that, boom, heaven opens up and there's all this rejoicing. These other angels are cheering and singing and doing all this stuff. And today when we were singing this song, I just felt like we were amidst that moment where heaven broke forth a little bit to celebrate the goodness of God, to celebrate the Savior coming. So why don't we all stand together? These guys are going to sing that song again. And I want you to imagine yourself singing this with the angels, because they still sing the same song, because the whole salvation from Jesus hasn't got old for them. So let's not let it get old for us. Let's sing this song together, and then we'll head out after that.